Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Folks, you will recall that we have visited with Colonel Alex Gann for several times. He's a retired colonel and fighter pilot for the Israeli Air Force, now living in a small village in northern Israel. Colonel Gann, welcome to the show.
Thank you, and welcome you too.
Colonel, a lot of talk here in the United States about Prime Minister Netanyahu talking about that the Rafah invasion is still on schedule. They've got a date that they've picked, and they're going in. Folks here, elected officials throughout the federal elected officials are saying, many are saying that this is not a good idea. What is the sentiment in Israel?
I'll divide it into two. The first one is, what is the sentiment about Netanyahu and what he says and what most of the people think he should go home? We had enough of him. We don't think he's performing the way a prime minister should perform. He doesn't take any responsibility on what happened on the 7th of October. And it's about time that we get rid of him. He doesn't perform on the political side the way he should. But on the other side, what about Rafah? I think on our side, there's no rush regarding Rafah. Our first priority is getting the hostages back. They were there over half a year. We know they are torturing them. We know that the women are being raped regularly over there. We know that for a fact. And we want him back. And the question is, what's the fastest way to get him back? And what is the price for that? You can see that we're trying the political way in the negotiations with Hamas, and Hamas says no to anything. But we have to do that as a first move. Rafah, I believe we will get to Rafah. It doesn't have to be today or tomorrow. There's enough time to deal with Rafah. Of course, we will have to move most of the people out of Rafah area so they won't be inside the battle zone. But if we want to get rid of Hamas, we will have to go and clean Rafah from Hamas. Otherwise, they'll bounce back very quickly. But it doesn't have to be tomorrow. It doesn't have to be the first priority. The first priority, as I said, is the hostages.
There's a feeling here with the ambivalence and the manner in which Hamas has been responding relative to the hostages without proof of life. There are those that are beginning to believe that the majority of the hostage may be dead already. What's the thought process in Israel?
We don't know. We know that several of them are already dead, for sure. But we don't know exactly how many, at least. But we don't know as civilians, maybe the military knows, but I don't believe the military knows that. But we know there's still, we believe the majority are still alive, but they are in very, very hard conditions. And you know, Hamas, it's a very cruel organization. They don't follow the international laws. They don't let the Red Cross visiting. They don't let any information out regarding the hostage situation. So we really don't know. We hope that those that we know are alive will stay alive, although we have already firm and confirmed data about some of them which have been murdered during the captivity by Hamas. So if it's 100 that are alive or 50 are still alive, we still have to get them back. They don't deserve this suffering over there. No one deserves it.
Colonel, what's interesting to me is that there's not a lot of anger about the fact that Hamas is not willing to offer up proof of life of the hostages. They're not willing, as you say, to work with independent third-party relief organizations to help facilitate that. More often than not, when you have similar situations or happenstances historically that have occurred, that's exactly what happened. I just don't see a big public outcry in this country about that. Are they talking about that in Israel a lot?
For us, we already beyond hope from the international community. The way they treat Israel and treat Hamas, it's two different scales. We had it, you know, when we found out what happened on the 7th of October, and women came and said they were raped and had proof they were raped, no one would listen to them. Everybody said, you know, we had here some of the comedians made it for the show, you know, that a woman comes into the rape center in Europe and she says she was raped, and everybody runs to her and takes care, and she said she's Israeli, so they say, oh, never mind. Grow up, go through it. So it's a biased attitude. I won't say it's pure anti-Semitism, but I think the propaganda of the Muslims all over the world, the noise they are generating regarding what's happening in Gaza. What's happening in Gaza is not simple. It's not simple. It's very, they're suffering, and they're going through, but they're not going through rape, they're not going through prisoners, and everybody is crying about the humanitarian aid that's not coming in. They have a huge amount of humanitarian aid. Unbelievable. From all over the world, we have seen even movies of women of Hamas people throw away food because they have so much of it. They don't know what to do with it. So they're very good in putting a show, the Palestinians, and the world buys it, and the world buys it. I'm sad to say that one day the world will wake up, especially Europe first, to what happens. You can see what happens now in Europe with the Muslims. Good luck to them. So it's biased, and we have what can we do about it? Not much.
Yeah. Recent stories are beginning to reveal still some horrific details from October 7th here in the States. There was a number of breaking stories about female military observers along the Gaza Strip and the horrific events of October 7th and what they had to experience. And I understand that a number of videos were shot and that those videos in Israel are being shared with family members and others for the first time. I'm not sure if you're aware of this, and if so, what has the reaction been?
Well, we knew what happened, and we saw some of the movies. Some saw more, some saw less, but we saw those terrible movies. A lot of them they did not show because of respect to the victims. They did not want to go public with these movies. And actually what happened is in the last few weeks, some of the women who were raped and sexually molested came out in public, and they gathered their strength together, and they said, we have to come out in public and say it for the women who are still there. And they started telling their stories. They told their stories to the representative of the UN for Women Rights. She was here a few months ago, and she wrote a very long report. And the UN, their attitude is, I must say, shameful, really shameful. And now some of it is coming out in Israel. They're trying not to put out too much here in public, again, because it's a small country and everybody knows everyone almost. And they don't want to put them in a personal stress, these young women. But some of them are brave, and some of them talk, and some of them say, and they tell their stories, and it's unbelievable what they went through, these young women. And those who are still in captivity, we have 19 women in captivity. Most of them are these young soldiers, and the 19, 20-year-olds, and we know what they're going through, and it's unbelievable. Unbelievable. And we feel that the negotiations with Hamas are not moving in the right direction. I think some of the blame may fall on the U.S. administration, which are not pressuring enough Hamas. They can't pressure Hamas directly, but they can pressure Qatar. And they don't put enough pressure on Qatar and on Egypt to put pressure on Hamas. And Hamas actually today is very comfortable. They say, why should we get a deal? Because we get whatever we want without paying anything for that, because of the pressure on Israel. And it's frustrating.
It continues to mystify me why we are still promoting, advocating, and basically forcing this two-state solution down people's throats without recognizing that we are trying to negotiate with a barbaric group of individuals. And, you know, as though that they are going to be the governance of Gaza in the future, and that's who they're asking everyone to sit down at the table with. That's not how it typically works. I mean, I just continue to shake my head as to how they think. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
If I may say, it's the Western culture, the people who are in the Western culture, whether U.S. or Europe or whatever, really don't understand what does this fundamentalistic Islamic radical movements are about. I think you got a taste with ISIS, what it means. And Hamas is exactly ISIS, maybe even worse. And if you don't understand that, you will never, never be able you send them out of the door, they're coming through the window or the chimney. You know, I look at Europe, and we have friends in Europe. And I see what's happening there. It's unbelievable. There are cities which the Islamic population is ruling, and the locals are afraid to go out at night, and no one says anything to stop it. They're afraid, and it's frustrating. But some of them are starting to understand that. I just saw a show and then TV about what's happening in Sweden. In Sweden, which was so liberal and accepted so many Muslims as refugees, is now paying the price, and Swedes are beginning to understand it. They're beginning to become more radical, more against the refugees. and it may be too late for them. It may be too late. And
one of the
but I hope at least I'm sorry. Yeah, go ahead.
No, go ahead. So finish your point.
I was just, you know, I'm looking at what's going on even in the States. And we see only part of what's going on, but we see what's going on in places like Wisconsin, and which has a great Muslim population. And everybody accepts it, that they can do whatever they want. And no one is standing against them. No one is demanding anything from them. And it's problematic. And if you won't do it now, you'll be late. You'll be late. So I hope you wake up in time.
Yeah. A lot of discussion in the U.S. right now about the possibility of Iran taking offensive action against Israel. Is there a lot of discussion there about saying?
Yeah. Sure, of course. Of course. It's a... And you know, it depends. Some of the population is very tense, you know, where since they said it will happen, so everybody, you know, is looking east and with their eyes in the sky looking for coming in missiles. But we know the way that Iran retaliates. You know, Iran also, you know, they had these people who were killed. They were not innocent Iranian citizens. They were the head of the Al-Quds command, which is responsible for most of the terror in the Middle East. So they were not any angels or righteous people. And when we finally got them together, they were not sitting for to play poker at the end of the evening. They were planning, a very big attack on Israel. So in Iran, you know, they play the game, but we'll see what will happen. You know, in this case, I must say we really appreciate and we thank the U.S. and Europe for their support, telling Iran, you know, hold back and bite your tongue. But we'll see what will happen. We'll see what they will do. National pride for them now.
Yeah. We're speaking with Colonel Alex Gann, retired colonel and fighter pilot for the Israeli Air Force. Last time you and I discussed a lot of offensive activity being conducted by Hezbollah from the Lebanese border. Is that activity still as strong as it once was?
Yes. Yes, it's on a daily basis. What's happening on the northern border eventually is Hezbollah has been firing daily into Israel. They're keeping the fire on a low level, firing only, I would say, to about a strip of about 5 miles from the border. But in that strip, we had to evacuate it, all the civilians. So we have close to 100,000 people who have been in hotels or other places for half a year already. And the villages are empty, and their businesses and their agriculture is going down the toilet. And we are firing back at Hezbollah again, at this, keeping it on a low level. But what we said from the first day is... We had, after 2006, the war in Lebanon, there was an agreement with Hezbollah that they will not go south of the Litani River, and they will not rearm to a certain extent. And, of course, the day after that, they did not keep to their promise. And no one in the world said anything about it, not Europe, not the U.S., nobody. And actually, it was our fault, because we also kept relatively quiet. And I think our lesson is that when the first time they violate the agreement, we should act accordingly. And we didn't do that. So now it will not stop. Even Hezbollah says when the fire in Gaza ceases, they'll stop firing. But That's not acceptable. They will have to go back to the agreement which the UN, the Security Council, and the four, I think 13 or 14 countries signed that as I forgot the word, to make sure that this agreement stands. And it was violated. So we'll see what will happen.
Yeah, and interestingly, they don't take any action relative to this issue. It seems as though everything goes on pause and everybody gets a free pass because of what's going on in Gaza. I mean, this is such a contradiction.
There's an American mediator, Amos Hochstein, I think is his name, and he's running around here trying to do his best between Lebanon and Hezbollah and Israel. I don't know if he will manage. But if it will, doesn't work, we will have to drive Hezbollah out of south of Lebanon, back to, according to what was agreed in the 1701 agreement of 2006, which they violated very easily, supported by Iran, of course, which is the main cook of what's going on in the Middle East.
Absolutely. Colonel Alex Gann, thank you so much for joining us. We truly appreciate your time, your insight, and just you guys are in our thoughts and prayers, and please stay safe.
Thank you very much for everything. You're welcome anytime. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. We will be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.